Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
And you, music lover, you're next.
Drunk piano player. You're so drunk you can't hit nothing. In fact, you're probably seeing double.
I have two guns. One for each of you.
Val Kilmer passes away. That's, of course, Doc Holliday. I guess I should see The Doors. He also played Jim Morrison on The Doors. I have not seen The Doors.
I haven't either. That might be the first Val Kilmer movie I get reacquainted with myself. Yeah. Yeah. I like Jim Morrison. I like The Doors.
Well, Tombstone is incredible.
I already have plans to watch it for the first time today.
Tombstone?
Yep.
Oh, all right, get home. Will you give us your report tomorrow?
Sure.
It's a great movie. Great movie. Five times you're going to see someone say, oh, that person's in this movie, and not know their name. But like, that guy? Sam Elliott, I think, is one of the guys. And Kurt
Ross. Even the guy in that scene right there, not obviously Val Kilmer, the other guy, I recognize him from other movies, but I don't know who he is.
Might be Sam Elliott. I don't know.
No, it wasn't Sam Elliott.
What's the one guy's name? Yeah, everybody's in Tombstone.
What's the one guy's name?
Kurt Russell, of course.
Yeah.
You see Kurt Russell. Yeah.
Should we look at the cast?
I'm going to get the name of the guy that you're thinking of. The guy that you're thinking of is not Bill Paxton, who's also in it. Billy Bob Thornton's also in it. Powers Booth is who you're thinking of, maybe. Maybe not. Powers Booth, you've seen a lot of different things. Yeah.
Billy Zane?
Yeah. Everybody's in Tombstone. Thomas Hayden Church.
That's who it is.
Thomas Hayden Church. Okay.
Yep.
Jason Priestley is in Tombstone. You might not know who Jason Priestley is. He was Brandon Walsh in 90210. Okay, anyway. You never saw 90210? Hold on. This is a respect your elders moment. Are you, with a straight face, going to roll your eyes at 90210? Do you know what that show even was?
The OC before the OC.
The OC couldn't hold a candle to 90210. 90210.
It's One Tree Hill for boomers.
Get this man out. Call security. First off, it's definitely not that for boomers. I mean, I'm not close to a
Zoomers.
A boomer.
I don't know.
What year are the Zoomers? I don't know. I'm not a boomer.
I know. I'm just messing with you. That was good though. Tree Hill for boomers. 90210.
I'm a little short of millennial. I'm one of those people that on Facebook they claim there's like a 4-year stretch. Like we're our own generation.
Yeah.
I'm one of those. 90210. Come on. What year were you born again? 79.
That would put you as Generation X.
Yeah.
He's an Xer.
But X usually starts around like 80, is what they say.
I'm reading the thing right here that says 65 to 80.
Oh, okay, right on the end of 80.
And then millennials are 81 to 96.
There you go.
Yeah, Gen Z, me and Owen, 97 to 2010.
We're covering three generations here right now.
Listen,
in this show.
We've got some representation on
That's
this
right.
show. You know what I thought of yesterday? So, funny stories. We're talking about ages and generations. For you out there listening, I say this in the nicest way. Like, I'm the old guy on the show now. I'm 45. I turn 46 in a couple months. We're going to need Gene Steratore, kind of. We need an old guy correspondent.
Mm.
Yesterday, was it Tony in South Carolina? Maybe somebody called about watching OJ play.
Yes.
When we're talking about memories in the stadium, we were yesterday at this time. Like, hey, we got to go to our old guy correspondent.
Yeah.
Our old friend correspondent.
We've got to go to our 1960s correspondent.
Even 70s. I mean, yeah. I didn't watch the Bills in the 80s. The 90s, early 90s, it's still young. We're going to need an old guy correspondent.
Yeah.
So anytime you call in and say, like, hey, guys, I'm the old guy, like that's great. It's kind of like we're going to Gene Steratore.
It's a lot like that.
You're there as part of the team. Although I wouldn't say that Gene's necessary, and I think in this case I'm making the case that you are. 90210. Man. We used to be a proper country. Will, you know what you should do? You know, here's another fun game. Josh, would you do this for me? Would you get the trailer for the movie Willow? I mentioned Val Kilmer's, he's Mad Mardigan in Willow, which is a 1988. Did we establish that was 1988? And back then, yes. Back then, one thing that was very different about the world back then, movie trailers.
Like they were better?
They were very different. Movie trailers now are just clips from the movie, blah, blah. Movie trailers used to be narrated by a big movie voice guy.
Yeah.
In a world.
Yes.
A man and a right? And I'm pretty sure the Willow trailer is peak movie voice person. He's laughing already. This is the normal movie trailer in 1988.
It was a different time.
See?
It was a time of destiny. A time when a child could tip the balance between good and evil.
Don't you want to see this movie?
I, with my powers, with the strength of my great army, can you not find one little child?
A time for an unlikely hero named Willow.
Yes. There you go.
I'm not gonna let anything happen to the baby.
It's like, you gotta get that baby. Are you familiar? Are you familiar?
In
with
a
the,
world.
That's. Yeah. Listen. That was the normal movie trailer. That's what they all sounded like.
It's like Tropic Thunder.
One man.
Yes, right.
All the time. So anyway.
Okay. Is the last movie to do that Transformers? Like, that's what I think of when I think of big
those
movie,
kind of movie
voice
trailers. I don't know. I mean, it was just totally what you expected from movie trailers. That's what it was. Now, I watch a movie trailer. 9 times out of 10, you know what I do when I'm watching a movie trailer? I'll turn it off halfway through because I either don't want to see the movie or I do and I want to have you stop showing me the movie.
Yeah.
Like, sold. I'm out.
Yeah, it's literally just clips, sometimes not even in the right order of the movie with, like there you get a little sneak peek of some dialogue of the movie, but it's just a guy creating
a world.
The narrative for you.
Right.
Like, I'm going to give you high-level plot without actually exposing any of the details
of
the movie.
Yes, it's, can a child balance the world of good and evil?
Yeah.
Not here's 6 minutes of that happening.
Right.
And including scenes at the end.
I wonder what the Top Gun trailer sounds like.
The original Top Gun trailer? That's a good question. I don't know that. It's probably all about fighter jets and Need for Speed. I bet Need for Speed is I feel the need for speed. It's definitely in there.
You are right, though. I mean, that is.
Do we get the voice guy? Yes. I'm saying yes.
You're getting the montage.
I'm going to send you up against the best.
Yes, sir.
You two characters are going to Top Gun.
I feel the need.
No.
Need for speed.
5 weeks.
He doesn't talk.
We don't get narrator guy for wow.
Well, Top Gun ahead of its time.
With that opening montage, you don't need the narrator.
That's a good point.
That's true. Top Gun ahead of its time.
Opening montage guy, and that was. Can we talk about the career of that guy? That voice guy.
I'm gonna have to find this. There used to be either like a fake short or a movie about that. It might even be called In a World. It really might. That guy just, they would send him scripts and he would just crank it out.
Who's the original NFL Films voice?
John Facenda.
Okay.
The voice of God.
Yes. Like, I didn't know his name, but like, I know the voice. Like, if he had his voice out there in the world, like, I'd be like, oh, that's the NFL Films guy. The movie narrator guy had an unbelievable run. And he was so good, they just said, we're not going to do this anymore. We're not going to do the narrating over movie trailers anymore. He was so good, the standard was set. No one's matching this. He fundamentally changed movie trailers.
Changed the game, yeah. The chat's going off on this one quite a bit. They're enjoying this. Anyway, 803-0550, our phone number. What else? I'm trying to think. Like, I'll tell you this. I do have a good time. Whenever I get to be the old guy and tell you about a thing you don't know about or haven't seen, I mean, today it's Willow, which I did not wake up knowing we were going to do that. But, yeah, Willow's great. 90210, you scoff. You scoff at 90210.
It just seems like such a lame thing, 90210, in hindsight.
It was a teen-based soap opera, but I don't know. It wasn't what am I looking for? Like,
and it's not network television, right?
Fox.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Fox.
Yeah.
90210. Two twins moved to California. They moved in Beverly Hills, 90210. But it's more about like just teenage drama. It's a coming of age show. 90210 is.
So,
and adjusting and meeting new friends.
It is.
And these other movies.
X's version. It's Generation X's version of the OC for millennials.
No, the OC is different. I don't know why. I've never seen the OC.
Yeah, it's coming of age. Guy moves to camp. I mean, it is.
Yeah. By the way, can you believe that Fox still calls their postgame show the OT? Couldn't they do that like off a spoof of the OC?
Did they?
I always thought they did.
Oh. Anyway. The OT.
The OC, One Tree Hill. I don't know what these are.
I didn't watch One Tree Hill because I think as a millennial, you have a dividing line. You're either an OC person or you're a One Tree Hill person, which makes you're either an Adam Brody guy or you are a Michael Murray? Michael Murray. Buffalo. I feel like I should have known that. You pick one side. I don't know that there's a lot of people that were like, I've watched both shows and like both shows.
Gabe writes in on the chat, why does Fox Sports still use the robot transformer thing? Yes.
That's like an old thing.
His name is Cletus.
I didn't know he had a name.
He's on Twitter.
He's got his own Twitter.
There's a Cletus NFL Fox robot account, Cletus. Yeah.
Of all the things that I thought you guys were going to talk
look
about.
Look it up right now. The Fox robot's name is Cletus.
Fox.
Bet you $50 right now. Cletus.
Robot.
That dude's name is Cletus. He's got a name. He is still spinning footballs around and doing stuff. Yeah, the robot, the Fox Transformer, is still around.
Cletus was designed by the 8-year-old son of Fox Sports Executive Vice President of Graphics. The name Cletus was chosen in 2007 in a fan poll.
Of course.
Cletus wears number 34 in honor of the late Walter Payton.
Obviously.
So these are just some...
Everybody knows that.
These are just some fun facts about Cletus. The Fox Sports robot. Wait, here's the... There's a Reddit thread. The secret history of Cletus.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, God. The secret...
He has 11,000 followers on Twitter. His last tweet was in 2013.
Okay.
And his last tweet was, hashtag Aaron Rodgers can thank one person for his massive contract. Joe, can you believe they paid me that? Flacco. That was his last tweet.
Thanks, Cletus. All right. We need a Cletus origin story movie with the movie guy voice. A young robot. Loved football.
Right. Loved football.
Right. What else we got?
Oh, here's a good one. Once Cletus became self-aware and creating memes online, Fox executives pulled the plug.
He's still on the broadcast.
Yeah, but he's not. Yeah,
they silenced him.
Wow.
Yeah. Controversial.
Once he started posting memes, that was it.
Okay.
Cletus, man.
So the Chiefs want to be on Christmas now. They want to be a Christmas fixture. All right, here's the question for everybody. Bills, Chiefs on Christmas? The Bills are playing on Christmas. Let's say we know that.
Mm-hmm.
You get to pick the opponent. Who do you want? Bills, home, Christmas Day. Who do you want? I'll tell you who my last choice is. The Chiefs.
Yeah, I think they would be my last choice.
No.
I'd want it to be a good game and a good opponent.
I don't want it for any other reason than we have definitely, if we weren't in this spot before, we are at who cares who wins the game.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean.
You were there before last year.
Yep.
The Bills won it this year by 9 points and had the play of the year and still lost to them in the playoffs. And who cares? I'd take Bills Chiefs in week two so I could get it out of my mind.
Yep.
I don't want to think about them. I don't want to look at them. I don't want anything to do with them. Bills Chiefs on Christmas strikes me as awful.
Yeah,
the game is still a marquee game and still a good game, but I don't want it on Christmas. Bills Bengals, Bills Eagles, Bills Ravens.
Maybe Bills Ravens. Because you'd get like kind of like a this might be a playoff preview and they're starting. Yeah. Bills Ravens.
Especially if you do the just the numbering of the schedule. Like, okay, here's what I want to do. I'm gonna go deep on this. The NFL season will open September 7th. For week one Sunday, right? Week one is Sunday the 7th because Labor Day happens and the league starts. Is it the final of the opener last year? Where is it in relation to Labor Day?
The opener last year? It's after Labor Day.
NFL opening day is going to be September 4th. Okay.
Oh.
So that means that week one is September 7th. What I want to do here is find out what week will Christmas be, okay? So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
16?
6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. It would be week 17. Christmas is week 17.
So we're probably talking
division. Those are usually division games in week 18.
Yeah.
And with 17 games, there are 18 weeks.
Do you think, also, let me ask you this question. Do we think that what the Bills did with Bills-Dolphins last year is going to be their new normal moving forward?
Where the Dolphins host late and the Bills host early to avoid.
It's been, I think, 2 straight years.
Right, since like that heat stroke year?
Yeah.
Maybe. Week 17. Find me a Bills game. This is where you run into some problems if you're the NFL. You almost want to be careful. Because if we put the Chiefs and the Bills there, both of them might already have their divisions clinched.
And both of them might.
Maybe there's something to play for, maybe not. Second to last game of the season, it's also possible. Put it this way. If this was last year, which the Chiefs, by the way, won on Christmas and then didn't have to play a meaningful game for almost a month.
Yep.
And you might get that scenario again. It's week 17. It was probably week 17 last year. I think
it'll be division. I think it'll be division teams.
Well, it wasn't last year. It was Chiefs, yeah. Chiefs, Steelers, and Ravens, Texans. Those were interdivision in the same conference. You could switch over to the NFC, but this could easily be, you know, the Bills don't have to be at home. They could be on the road for Christmas.
Yeah.
So if you were going to follow that model in the conference, out of division, your options are Baltimore, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Houston, Pittsburgh.
Maybe Houston.
Like Bills at Houston.
Yeah.
Houston hosted last year on Christmas Day.
Yep. You've got to imagine who the league's going to want, because Netflix are going to carry the two first games, and I think it's Peacock.
Netflix the first two, and then, Amazon.
Though Netflix is going, if they're spending a billy to do this, I want matchups.
Yeah, and you might want Mahomes, or you might want
Allen. I don't want Cleveland. I don't want
Well, here's the Chiefs' home schedule. They want to host on Christmas.
Okay.
The division games, like Denver, yep. the Chargers, the Raiders, Houston, Indy, Philly, Washington, Baltimore, Detroit. That's a good schedule, too.
Yeah, it is. That's got to be their toughest schedule in years.
Yeah, I think the Bills and Chiefs both have really tough home schedules. Their road schedule's not nearly as tough.
Yeah.
Same as the Bills. Interesting. They want to be on Christmas, like the Cowboys and the Lions want to be on Thanksgiving. Yeah. All right. I'm already annoyed at the Bills-Chiefs game. Already annoyed about it.
It's an annoying game. Listen, I tried to say it last year, and I got killed for it.
Well, it mattered for the race to the one seed.
It did.
Because it kept it alive, and that was the closest it got. After that, it was pretty much over. When the Bills lost to the Rams,
that was it.
That really
effectively ended it.
Really ended it. This year, I don't know. We'll see. They both have tough schedules. Tough home schedules, especially. 803-0550 is our phone number. 1-888-550.
Eagles Chiefs.
2550. Eagles Chiefs on Christmas?
Yeah.
A Super Bowl rematch?
Yeah.
It's just tough to put a game of that magnitude in Week 17 because that late in the game for the great teams, I might not have anything to play for.
Yeah.
Well, it is one of the reasons they keep those division matches. Like Bills Patriots on Christmas Day? Ugh. I don't know. Do I want the Chiefs on Christmas as a fixture? Would I know the difference?
Yeah, right.
They're on every day of my life. Yep. We get to football season, I see Arrowhead Stadium 360 days a year.
Yep.
I know that doesn't make sense, but you know.
I get it.
I'm rolling.
No.
Trying to. All right. Joe Yurton, when we get back, recap of last night's win, Sabres over the Ottawa Senators. You know, does it mean anything? What do we take from it? And steps forward from here. We'll chat with Joe Yurton, who was in Ottawa last night. Jeremy and Joe, Nate's in for Joe this week. Hang with us, 803-0550, and go watch Willow today. Or go just watch 80s movie trailers. They're a ton of fun. We'll get Joe Yurton next here on WGR.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Hi, everybody. It's Ryan Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Met immediately, tried to just shove Shabbat away, and he does. Quinn out of the corner, Dahlin with a blast, scores! Rasmus Dahlin from the blue line, lets it rip, and he beats Linus Ullmark. And hello again, Ottawa. It is 2-0 Buffalo with 8:09 to go in the opening period.
Dan Dunleavy on the call. Sabres win last night. That's one of your first moments of the game. For the moments in your life, go forth to Firth Jewelers. Joining us on the Western Hotline, he was in Ottawa last night, Joe Yurton. Of Noted Hockey, a Substack. I am a subscriber, would encourage you to be as well. Joe, good morning.
Morning, Jeremy. How are we doing?
I'm all right. I wonder about Ottawa because, you know, they are they're going to make the playoffs. They're in very, very good shape, but they seem to have a problem beating the Sabres. So, you know, nice little wins for the Sabres here, the last two especially, post-Dylan Cousins trade. They're getting the laugh in the moment. Maybe Cousins gets the overall laugh in going to the postseason. But for whatever reason, Buffalo gets the season sweep and just, I guess, gets the best of the Senators this season.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how things work out like that, isn't it? Because you know Ottawa's a team that they've had issues with in the past, and you know those games are always tough and tight, and you know Brady Tkachuk always plays a big role in that, and you know he didn't play last night, so that's a big piece missing from a team that's got, you know, a lot of other really good players there. You know, Tim Stützle is so talented and very shifty and drives teams nuts because he can sometimes fall down and, you know, throw his head back sometimes, which, you know, hey, whatever. It's gamesmanship, so that's fine. But, you know, but like last night, you know, Omar looked a little bit off. It was one of those performances where I was like, throw everything at the net and see what happens, because, you know, we've seen that before in the past with Linus. But yeah, without Tkachuk there, that's a big downgrade for them. And you know what? Buffalo, you know, they didn't get a ton of shots, but the pucks went in, they got the lead, and they held on tight. So it was a good win.
The million-dollar question for all this is they've been playing better of late, or at least getting better results. And I guess that's the first place to start, Joe. Are they playing better, or are they just getting better results?
It's both. And I know, like, a lot of times, like the advanced numbers and even sometimes just the raw numbers don't really look sunny to them because they're not getting a lot of shots on goal or whatever. But you know, the puck goes in, and like that's, you know, that's the important part, is that, you know, they're scoring goals, they're creating the opportunities, they're getting into those, you know, the hard parts of the ice and making offense happen, you know, whether it's screening a goalie, you know, crashing in that, doing those kinds of things that we weren't really seeing from them a lot. And, you know, especially now that they're putting games away, that's, you know, that for half the season, more than half the season. So too many times we watched, you know, the opposing team would be down, you know, a couple of goals, three goals, whatever. If it's Colorado, they're down by four and, you know, they can come back and win a game. But they, you know, the opposing team would score a goal in the third and, you know, the Sabres would, you know, kind of collapse in on themselves and get spooked out because of it and lose the game. And we haven't seen that happen lately. You know, look at these wins they've had against Washington, against Winnipeg, you know, against Vegas, against Ottawa. You know, these were games where they had a lead. Even, you know, the other team scores late in the game and you're like, how's this going to go? And they've held on and they've played strong, locked it down. Might not be very exciting watching them try to hold down leads and put games away, but they're getting it done. And that's such a big deal for this group. And I know it's frustrating seeing them do it now as opposed to earlier in the season, but, watching them put it together now is important. Yeah. I know folks get jaded because they're like, typical Sabres, here they are, you know, winning games at the end of the year, and it doesn't matter anymore. But this group's too young, and learning how to do it is such an important thing for them. You just got to hope that it doesn't get forgotten going into next year.
Yeah, I try not to get jaded because I find myself, Joe, like, pulled both ways, that I think they're probably not as bad as they are in the standings, but I also want to be mad that they are where they are in the standings because it's too often that they're down there. And what that really gets at for me here is, you know, what is sustainable? What are they doing that is sustainable? That's, whether that's shooting percentage, save percentage, the goalie that's led this last surge is James Reimer. Should I be planning on that in the future? I feel like it would mean a little more to me if this were a UPL-led run or even a Devin Levi-led run, like something that looks like this is going to be part of the future. Jack Quinn falls in line with this too, like such a throwaway year, and all of a sudden the production is there for him. So it comes down to, for me, sustainability and whether or not the things that they're getting now can be counted on when they come back next year.
Yeah, and like, I love how Quinn's playing now. I think we can all agree that he's playing extremely well. But it's been such a season long effort to figure out, like, you know, to get the confidence back, to figure out what you're doing right, and, you know, playing for a new coach, maybe that has something to do with it, you know, because, you know, I think, you know, in Quinn's case, he's playing for his second, third coach already. You know, like, for some of these guys, it's their second coach, third coach. Some of them, it's their fourth coach. If you're Dahlin, it's like your sixth coach by now. So it's, you know, it, it, it's it's such a tough process. Learn, you know, systems and all that stuff, and trying to, you know, trying to make the coach happy and doing things like that. But, you know, for guys like Quinn, for guys like Paterka, where, you know, there were struggles early on and you're wondering like, oh, geez, is this guy ever going to figure it out? And you're like, man, what if he doesn't figure it out? What if this is just what he is for the rest of his career? You know, the doom and gloom aspect where you're thinking like the worst possible outcome, watching these guys turn it around and play better. And you're like, oh, okay, well, I wish this was here 40 games ago, but I'm glad that it's there now, because this is something that I think these guys, those guys can carry that forward, because they're learning, they're putting it together. They're, you know, they're kind of getting that, you know, kind of getting their, you know, a stiff upper lip and saying like, you know, this is how I got to play hockey now. This is the way I got to do it. It would be great if more of these things were easily looked at and say like, okay, this is going to stick and go ahead with this group. But, you know, I think when we start doing the postmortems on this season, it's going to be kind of easy to put together like why they ended up here. You know, power play struggled again because of really good scoring 5-on-5. Goaltending let them down this year, where last year it was great and the power play was so bad last year that it killed them. But, you want to look ahead and microanalyze these performances and say, okay, these guys are showing out. This can work. You know, Thompson, Tuck, those guys. Like, you expect those guys to be good, but yep. It's very tough in the after part, especially because again, so many of these guys are young, and the outcomes can just fluctuate so much because they're figuring out their careers, they're growing into the bodies, the whole thing.
Joe, as we look forward to next year, Joe Yerden joining us of Noted Hockey Substack. You can subscribe to his work following the Sabres, covering the Sabres. What's the goaltending plan next year? What do you think they do? I mean, Levi is dominating at his level. Lukanen, I'm pretty sure there's not enough time left in the season for Lukanen to really reestablish confidence, at least among the fans. Like, we know it's in there, but the consistency is not. And I end up with, what will they do? Will they leave the door ajar for Levi to get half the games? Will they continue to let him cook down there? Because it seems like, I don't know, eventually that's got to be a thing.
I think with how Lukanen has gone this year, and I feel bad for him because I think a lot of his more recent starts, the last month, I would say, there's a trust issue between him and the guys in front of him and the guys in front of him and him. Because, you know, everybody gets a lot tighter dealing with each other. And, like, just sometimes you read the body language with Luke and then with some of the goals where it's just kind of – it has that look of, like, oh, man, guys, come on. You got to help me out here. And the guys in front of him are like, hey, man, we need a save here. Like, what are we doing? That's tough. And we've seen that in the past with him, with other goalies, too. In my mind, I think what you're looking at next year is – Levi, Lukanen, duking it out. Let's see who gets this done. Hot hand will take the job, and you go from there. Because I don't know if you want Levi playing another year in the NHL. You got, like, you kind of have to know what you got with him, right? Getting peaks of it now and again when he comes up to get starts or he's filling in for, you know, when somebody's injured, whatever. You get an idea because sometimes you'll see a brilliant start and be like, oh, man, this guy's electric. Okay. And then you get a game like he had in Seattle where you're like, oh, boy, this is a work in progress. Like, well, let's try to be patient here. I think next year you're going to have those two guys duking it out. And I think in the best possible outcome, you have them fight it out. They split games. Everybody stays, you know,
sharp.
Everybody stays sharp, fresh. Hot hand will take control, and then you go from there and see how it goes. But you better have a really good veteran in the AHL, or, you know, that's okay with being in the AHL, or have them there in camp. And then, you know, if somebody wilts because there's a veteran guy that might take the job, then okay. Like, at least then you know, like, you can figure it out. But I mean, every team's got to have three goalies now. It's as far as I'm concerned. But when you look at Rochester, like, you know, you could have, you know, maybe Tuipias Leinonen's going to be there. Scott Ratzlaff's had a great year in Seattle. Like, I mean, he's still a couple years away from being in Rochester, but it's coming. He's down the road. So you got to have – the path has to be clear for these guys to be able to get those games in Rochester and see if you got another guy.
Joe Yurden on the Western Hotline on the Sabres. Joe, thanks for the time. Enjoy the run-in here, to use a soccer term, the run-in here on the hockey season. And congratulations to your Newcastle United.
People think
the Sabres drought is long. Newcastle ends a 70-year drought?
Yes.
70!
70 years without a major trophy to win, and they were stunning. That was the best game I'd watched that team play in, I don't even know how long, man. It was it's something else, and I'm still kind of glowing from it. It's unbelievable. But yes, thank you. Holy cow.
I'm happy for you. Can I ask for your allegiance for the Champions League? Will you root for Arsenal to win the Champions League, because the Premier League season is over pretty much. So, you know.
You know, I do have a bit of a soft spot for Arsenal sometimes, except, you know, when they're playing Newcastle, of course, but it's funny how you draw allegiances in Premier League. Like, you'd be hard pressed to find me pull for Liverpool ever, but Arsenal, I think, you know, Champions League is a little different story.
I think
they could come away if they win Champions League. Holy smokes, man!
Be amazing.
That'd be an equally insane story.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Joe.
You got it, Jeremy. Thanks,
Joe Yurden. Always a pleasure, Joe Yurden on the Western Hotline. Subscribe to his Substack, Noted Hockey. He covers the Sabres. Was in Ottawa last night with the team. Arsenal to the Champions League. I'm just saying, Bukayo Saka's healthy again. Arsenal's season in the Premier League was cursed. It was a cursed season. None of it counts. It was all crap. Now the Champions League's still around. They play Real next week. Like, let's go. Go in the Champions League. Come on. That's it. Answers. Easy. Problem solved. All right. We'll get Extendo Sports in and hand things off the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We got who have extra point today? Sal back in for the extra point? No. Okay. Still Zach and Derek. Okay. Good. Sal is in West Palm for the week. He's got to get time to reacclimate to this. It's not that bad outside, right? It's going to be 60 today. It's not that bad. All right. Extendo Sports coming up here on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Very quick thought on something totally random, but I read a piece yesterday at defector.com about college basketball. And every once in a while, we get to a conversation, a fun conversation, about what rule in sports exists that if you proposed it today, people would be like, what? Why would we ever do that? And this kind of falls in line with all the tush push talk of the last week. I think it was Vrabel. Somebody said, you know, if you had these people that are trying to ban the tush push back when we put in the forward pass, they'd have argued against that. Like, easy. The forward pass is revolutionizing the game to open it up and make it more exciting. The tush push doesn't do that. Anyway. Nominee for the strangest thing that we all just accept as normal, that if you suggested this, it would be shot down. Defector wrote a piece about the possession arrow in basketball. We all just accept. Oh, whose ball is it? I just take turns. It's their ball. Why? Well, they got it last time. Oh. So we just hold the ball, and it's just, yeah, just take turns. We're going to have an arrow on the table. It's going to go this way, and then goes this way, and then this way. And that's it. We're just going to take turns instead of having an actual jump ball. There was, I got to check what year. It might have been the year that Syracuse won the national championship. There was a year where college basketball changed the rule to, if you tie up the ball, it goes to the defense. At least one year in there. In 1998, okay, so yeah, the defense gave the ball. The defense got the ball on a tie-up no matter who had the possession arrow. That was 1998. And I guess that didn't last, but It was there for a little while where now you tie up the ball. That's a good defensive play. You reward the team that, hey, sorry, you had the ball on offense. You don't have it anymore. You gave up possession. So, anyway, just a college basketball thought as we head into the weekend and the Final Four. Coming up later today, Chris Trapasso. He joins Shopin the Bulldog, part of the Wednesday weekly draft feature, so he's coming up. Matt Harmon is coming up on Thursday, according to the board up here. We're going to have next week, a week from today, we'll have Matt Waldman, who puts together the rookie scouting portfolio, does a bunch on quarterbacks, receivers, running backs, tight ends as well. So very much offensive-driven, but on it's great for fantasy stuff. Like, I'd recommend Matt Waldman's rookie scouting portfolio if you want to check that out. He'll be with us next week. So that's that. Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show is on the way next. We're back tomorrow here on WGR.